FirstAmendmentRadio.com, Galaxy 13, Channel 16, Audio 7.70, and worldwide on the Internet at FirstAmendmentRadio.com. The number to call in during this live broadcast is 1-800-858-6582. If you have unlimited long distance or are calling from a cell phone, please use our toll number, 1-559-733-5161. That's 1-559-733-5161. Thank you.
Of American Exposé, and it's the 26th of July, 2004. There are so many things that indicate where we're going that most don't pay attention to. And it's just a sad, sad commentary about where we're going. We'll briefly, or maybe in length, cover the concentration camp program. Certainly, it hasn't been covered much in quite a while. And on August 1st of 2001, just before the September 11th scenario, Pearl Harbor, put it that way, we have Field Manual 3-19.40. I've covered it in the past, and it's time to revisit that as the United Nations is fully implemented into this. Field Manual 3-19.40. We're going to revisit some Mr. C information. I've interviewed him in the past. We had a parting of the ways. I don't know whether he's legitimate or not, but the concentration camp program needs to be addressed, especially with the pending screening of everyone for mental illness in this country. It's just so in your face, people. The traumatic situations that could arrive any day now, any minute now, are obvious to me. Whether it happens tonight, tomorrow, next week, next year, it doesn't matter, because the deception continues. The 9/11 Commission report is just a little bit better than the Warren report from the Kennedy assassination, which nobody has seen, the Warren report from the Kennedy assassination. The setups are amazing. In the meantime, the Tour de France kept me captivated for 3 weeks. I enjoyed it. I was in my own world watching the Tour de France. It was every year I watch it to whatever degree I can view it. And this year was no different, except on the Outdoor Life Network. You can see a lot of it. And so for 3 weeks I was captivated. Every minute of that race that was aired on the screen I watched. And I hold a lot of envy and gratitude to those that participate, because just to finish that Tour de France is a monumental feat. Some of those people that finished 2 and 3 hours behind the leader, Lance Armstrong, who finished it for his 6th time in a row on top with the yellow jersey. Absolutely amazing. The Sunday broadcast, the 20th day, the 20th trial, so to speak, when you got into the city of France, there was an obelisk. The camera was right behind the obelisk with Egyptian hieroglyphics on it, which appeared to be a gold capstone on the obelisk in the shape of a pyramid. Kept showing that. The significance of that, well, the telling significance of a lot of New World Order directions are in your face. Oil companies and their symbolism. The Arco symbol comes to mind, which is the looking down at the pyramid, the Great Pyramid of Cheops from above. That's the Arco symbol, looking down on top of the pyramid. What can I say, people? This is the way it is. Symbology, very, very ironic in the Tour de France, even. I just can't say enough for Lance Armstrong and his ability to do what he's done 6 times. It's just phenomenal. He's truly going to be an American hero. And anyone that can finish that thing at all, anyone that can finish that 2,200-mile, 3-week session at all is a champion. It's a credit to their ability to just finish the thing. And that's the way I felt with the Baja 1000, which I never participated in because I just never had the resources or the coordination with other people to do so. Although I concentrated on the Baja 500 a few times as I could afford to do it, and Parker 400, these other off-road races, and they were very gratifying for me to compete in. All that off-road racing was wonderful back then. But they were closing down land, the government, the federal government, with the help of the BLM, the Bureau of Land Management. That's been going on since 1970 and before. But certainly when I started my motorcycle adventures, the direction to close down the land was well underway. So I see here right on the front page, July 26th today, talking about some trying to put brakes on off-roading adventures. They talk about this, and I haven't read it yet, but I can see where it's going. I see they want to close down land, more land, and keep us confined. It's the environmental direction, but when you connect the dots to all this, these meddling people that are part of the non-governmental organizations and foundations want to eliminate a good portion of our society, want to manipulate people into certain directions. They want to train you at a young age to be vocationalized into whatever they want you to be. As they develop your vocation, as you grow up, it's the UN system that's engineering all this, people. And that's why I keep harping on this. It's the UN system. Our State Department implements that. The Soviet Union is part of this. Communist China is part of this. All being engineered. But in the meantime, where are we with our thoughts about what we should do? you know, people are trying to look for solutions. And my thoughts are, your solution is to become intelligent so you can educate others. That's not an easy solution, to read and research and document and make a notebook of documentation that cannot be disputed, your own design and desires of information to put out for people to see that cannot be disputed by anyone. That's your job. You can declare your individual sovereignty, but it means nothing in the big picture, because ultimately you're going to be in a concentration camp if you're a resistor to this. And you find that hard to believe? Well, I don't blame you if you find it hard to believe. Those that have researched into concentration camps in the past have done it to convince themselves that they don't exist when they come back. Well, they're a reality. They can't dispute it. Concentration camps exist for the American people. So they're dumbing us down, they're drugging us down, they're manipulating us into certain positions of servitude. The Emergency Medical Act, which I don't have that paperwork in front of me regarding that, is something to be concerned about. The screening of every person in this country for mental illness is something to be concerned about for certain. The control of how you're learning in school, which has been going on for a long time, is something to be extremely concerned about, but most aren't. Most aren't paying attention. Most don't care, as long as they get what they want, as long as they're happy and comfortable in where they are. Most have never even heard of the Biometric Consortium, which serves as the U.S. government's focal point for research, development, tests, evaluation and application of biometric-based personal identification and verification technology. We've covered this in the past. Most have never even heard of this. And it's all by design. It's all there for us to move us into a cashless society, to move us into a subservitude individualism type society where we're directed to do what we're told, and if we don't comply, will be dealt with one way or the other. And there's plenty of examples. We've covered them in the past. So I'm not going to elaborate on this too much tonight. But keep in mind, I have this shortwave program on Tuesday and Thursday with Melody Cederstrom and her Discount Gold and Silver Trading. And that'll be tomorrow afternoon at 3 o'clock Central Time. And we'll deal with that as we can, and hopefully you can tell others to tune in. I want to go through some of the newspaper before we get into the big stuff. We see here that these state law officers and gun shops, they've all been part of this national program called Project Child Safe, which is administered by the National Shooting Sports Foundation and is funded by a $50 million grant from the U.S. Justice Department. Justice Department, I see, yes. Well, they say it's a success. It's a gun safety device that you open the action of a weapon, and you can, they're talking about handguns, basically, and you can run this locking device through the action and keep it locked, so it can't be used. It's a good idea. I don't see anything wrong with it. I certainly see how families have been destroyed. I can see how guns are misused by individuals that have been dumbed down and not educated properly. I see parental problems all the time, where the children run reckless in the streets and don't take care of what they should. So the locking device supposedly is a success. I hope it's not going to create the gun control direction that's ultimately on the horizon, because State Department Publication 7277 calls for disarmament of everyone. And we certainly have that here. In Sunday's edition of the Oklahoman, I see school starts for most Oklahoma City students August 30th. And they say parents need to make sure their children are up to date on their vaccinations. Uh-huh. State law requires students to be up to date in order to enroll in school, according to Debbie Johnson, the district's health and Medicaid administrator. So the district will be opening clinics early to provide free immunizations. Well, when you do the research on vaccinations, you'll find that there isn't much good in vaccinations, if anything at all. And a good, healthy bloodstream is the key to healthy life. And vaccinations can only damage. They're only ticking time bombs when you do the research. Here we see also that 9 Oklahoma schools have received accreditation with a warning for the 2004-2005 school year for failure to allow state education or to follow state education guidelines. They say one school system was accredited with probation by the State Board of Education. The 9 schools, mostly in rural areas, did not meet one or more education standards determined by the State Education Department. They say that the deficiencies seriously distract from the quality of the school's education programs, state officials have said. Isn't that amazing? What are they talking about here? They say violations range from educators teaching subjects without proper certification to a school not complying with a state fire drill schedule. Well, that's a ridiculous violation. It goes on. It's rather lengthy. But here we have regulation from the state and the federal to tell you what you're going to learn. And the move into the UN system in a young age is very predominant when you do research into that. And maybe most don't, and that's the problem. Most don't pay attention to what their students or children are learning. Also, according to yesterday's Oklahoman, NATO's going to send more troops for Afghanistan's elections, they say. And here we are. NATO is whole and part of the UN system. They say so in the UN chart, or the NATO charter from 1949, that they uphold the principles and purposes of the United Nations. That's what NATO is there for, to be the police cop for the UN now. That's the way it is today. So when you see NATO involved, it's no different than the Blue Helmet UN. No different at all. They may not wear the blue helmet because that's too symbolic. The blue helmet will come when it's all over with. In other words, when everyone's disarmed, when everyone cannot do what they need to do to protect themselves, when everybody's subservient to the UN system for their food and sustenance, which is an ongoing direction in the third world countries. And I want to make sure that you make it perfectly clear in your head to understand that NATO is the police cop for the UN system. And if you don't believe me, and I wish you wouldn't believe me, to find out for yourself. Most people have no desire, no ambition, no thought pattern about where to find out the information that I give to you. Most people are stupid and ignorant on purpose. And they enjoy being ignorant and stupid. As long as it doesn't affect them, fine. Well, someday it's going to affect all of us. Not maybe tonight, maybe tomorrow, but who knows what next week's going to bring? Who knows what next month's going to bring? You just don't know. And that is the sad commentary that we have today. And this article says NATO ambassadors meeting late Friday approved two more battalions for Afghanistan, one each from Italy and Spain. And battalion has between 600 and 1,000 soldiers. So you see the UN system unfolding itself under the guise of NATO in the paper yesterday in Oklahoma. Your paper probably has the same information because it all comes from the Associated Press. Everything comes from the Associated Press. I haven't seen one article in the front page that hasn't come from the AP. But most people don't care. Most don't have any thought about the Associated Press. What is it all about? It's a conglomeration of press to control information. And that's what it is. Whether you like it or not, that's where it's going. And so we see in the paper, under the heading of Iraq and the War on Terrorism, Spanish police find car used by bombers out of Spain. 3 months after the Madrid train bombing, Spanish police found a rental car used by the terrorists containing personal effects, including tapes of quadronic verses and chants praising jihad, an official said on Saturday. Who's backing this, listeners? Where's the financing coming from for this major move under terrorism? Here we see also on the same page an online statement by a group representing itself as Al-Qaeda's European branch threatened on Saturday to turn Australia into pools of blood if it doesn't withdraw its troops from Iraq. Well, isn't that amazing? Australia is disarmed. The civilian population is disarmed in Australia. How did the people in Australia think about that? It was the second statement in a week by the Tawhid Islamic group, a previously unknown group, which on Wednesday threatened attacks in Bulgaria and Poland if their troops remained in Iraq. Isn't that interesting? You see, an armed population is a safe population. People that want to do terrorism here are thinking twice about it. If there are people thinking of doing that, if they aren't sponsored by the CIA, MI6, Mossad, KGB, which has changed its name to I forgot who. But you see, the implementation process of all this is very difficult to unwind because we're only being told what we're allowed to know. Here we see Iraq urges Egypt to have resolve after kidnapping. Iraqi interim Prime Minister Awid Alawi, urged Egypt on Saturday to stand fast in the face of the kidnapping of one of its diplomats and ignore militants' demand that it abandon any plans to lend security assistance to Iraq. Where's this going? The Middle East is the last bastion of sovereignty in the world. And that is why the Middle East is under attack. That was planned for long ago. World War III is intended to erupt in the Middle East. I don't know whether that's true or not, whether that's going to happen or not. Here we see Kerry hopes to close electoral vote gap. Who's Kerry? He's just another Clinton. You better vote for Bush because Kerry's going to be worse. You might as well just do it, people. Bush is no better than any other president that we've had for our lifetimes. But with the Clinton administration, things were so bad. And is it good now that we're in Afghanistan and Iraq? It's just a continuation of the Clinton administration. But certain things settle a little bit when Bush has come into office, like the Endangered Species Act directions, things like this that are moving along. But with Kerry as president, how much worse will it get? Do we want to find out? And I don't know how to get to the bottom of this. The president is just a figurehead. I've been saying this for a long time. I say go ahead and suspend the elections. It might wake up a few more people, but what can they do when they're awakened? That's what everybody says to me. What can we do? What can we do? You have to become knowledgeable so you can educate others. Yes, that's the key. But the result of it all, listen, as long as our money's controlled, I don't see much of a solution at all. But do we want to live in concentration camps in the future? That's on the horizon, I'm sorry to say. It's terrible to have these thoughts. It's terrible to think there's going to be genocide here in this country as there is in other countries right now. But why won't it come here? It's going to come here. Because the UN system's created it all. From the past to the present to where we're going. Here we see from São Paulo, Brazil, a woman has turned in nearly 1,300 guns to federal police, responding to a government campaign for citizens to surrender privately held weapons. The woman had kept the guns at home since her father, an arms collector, died 8 years ago. Federal policeman Wagner Castillo said Saturday. Police did not identify the woman, who is expected to receive up to $65,000 for her arsenal, turned in Friday. The government is paying Brazilians to surrender their weapons in an effort to reduce the country's murder rate, one of the world's highest. And you think this is a solution? This is right here in the Sunday, July 25th edition of the Oklahoman. You think this is going to be a solution to the murder rate in Brazil to turn in your weapons? It sends the wrong message to those that murder. Go ahead, turn in your weapons so you can't defend yourself. And here we see also no crisis, Arafat says, of growing discontent. Militants raided a Palestinian police station and a local government office on Saturday as unrest in the Gaza Strip stretched into a second week, despite efforts by Yasser Arafat to defuse mounting discontent with his leadership. Whose side are you going to take? The Palestinian side or the Israeli side? You have this gigantic wall that's been put up to separate. You just see a little settlement and then you see the ocean. There's not much left, according to this picture. It's Israel's separation barrier. And I don't know how to choose sides, and I don't want to choose sides. I see that the Zionist Organization of America is very prominent in America, and I see that the government in Israel is just as corrupt as the government in America. Is it more corrupt than the government in America? Tell me, is it more corrupt in Israel than it is in America? Here we see Kathy Taylor in her opinion section of the Oklahoman. Trade mission trip productive. With apologies to the late Walt Disney, let me offer this truism about economic development in the 21st century. It's a small world after all. Ah, yes. Ours is an age of increasing economic globalization, and it shows no sign of waning. As businesses reach across oceans to find new locations and jobs are shuttled over continents and borders between nations can seem like little more than an arcane curiosities in a world atlas. Oh, yes. We're talking about Oklahoma trading with China. We'll be back to continue the broadcast. Lots to do tonight.
You're listening to FirstAmendmentRadio.com worldwide. Freedom is never free. We need your support today at FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
What do caves and concrete bridges have in common? It's coming up next on today's Creation Moment. And now, here's our Creation Moments host, Ian Taylor.
Have you ever been in a cave? If you have, perhaps someone has told you that the rock formations hanging down from the ceiling, called stalactites, are thousands or even tens of thousands of years old. Scientists tell us that stalactites take 100 years on average to grow just 1 inch. But how accurate is this figure? Stalactites grow when water seeps through limestone rock, dissolving the limestone in the process. When this water containing dissolved limestone emerges from the roof of the cave, it hangs for a moment and, in a current of air, some of this water evaporates, causing the limestone to deposit. Finally, the remaining water drops to the floor of the cave and continues to evaporate and deposit. In Worcester, Ohio, there is a concrete railroad bridge which had one stalactite growing under it that was over 12 inches long. Had the railroad bridge been standing for more than 1,200 years? Obviously not. In fact, the bridge had been cleaned of stalactites only 12 years before. Nor is this situation unusual. More than 300 stalactites were counted growing under bridges in just this one city, and stalactites are not hard to find under concrete bridges in most cities. So we take so many things which evolutionists tell us about the world at face value, even if they contradict the Bible. And before we start taking men's word on faith, we should take what the Creator says in the Bible at face value. He knows much more than all men put together and is to be trusted above all men.
For a free copy of our Creation Resource Catalog, call us toll-free at 1-800-42-BIBLE. And be sure to join us next time for another Creation Moment, proclaiming evidence of God's truth.
If you can hear my voice, you are listening to the Worldwide First Amendment Radio Network. If you would like to continue hearing these programs, there are several ways that you can help. One, you can make a donation or subscribe to your favorite program by going to firstamendmentradio.com on the internet and follow the instructions there. Two, you can sponsor your favorite program with your business advertising dollars or spend your dollars with those businesses that advertise on your favorite programs. Three, simply call in on live programs and tell them that you are listening on firstamendmentradio.com. Now anyone can do that one. You can find the call-in numbers on our schedule pages at firstamendmentradio.com. And finally, you can call 559-733-5002 and leave your name and address, and we will send you a support pack. Thank you for listening.
Always wanting something. Something for nothing. That's what you do.
Back with the broadcast, and just amazing all the information I'm inundated with tonight. Get back to this Chinese situation with the U.S. and Oklahoma. Certainly Oklahoma's big on it. Keep in mind current communist goals of 1963. It's just amazing, people. Just amazing. What do they say? Number one, U.S. acceptance of coexistence as the only alternative to atomic war. Always that atomic war situation is looming behind us. Weapons of mass destruction is another one. That's what they call it now. And that is a big looming situation that is always used as a bargaining chip to succumb to the UN system. Number two, willingness to capitulate in preference to engaging in atomic war. Number three, develop the illusion that total disarmament by the United States would be a demonstration of moral strength. Number three, number four, here it is. Permit free trade between all nations, regardless of communist affiliation, and regardless of whether or not items could be used for war. That's the big one in this situation with this article. This Kathy Taylor continues, the time for anguishing over the injustices of globalization is long past. For Oklahoma's continued growth and greater prosperity, it is critical that we understand the full potential of today's modern economic forces. Yes, modern economic forces. In other words, being forced to capitulate, just like the current communist goals of 1963, I'd say so. And she's taken it hook, line, and sinker. She's a sucker for the New World Order. She says, in June, I was part of a 10-day trade mission to the emerging powerhouse of China, a nation with more than 20% of the world's population and of some economic measures, the second largest economy on the planet, primarily funded by the Tulsa-based Freeman Foundation, a nonprofit education organization. The delegation embarked on a whirlwind schedule to strengthen existing relations with China and work toward opening export markets in that country. Yes. Less jobs here, more jobs there, but they're not paid a good wage over there. Most of them aren't. There's probably more and more that are reaping the benefits of globalization in communist China. But the middle class is non-existent, except for outward consumption, people visiting. They'll probably say, yeah, there's a middle class. And there might be a very small middle class, but it's pretty well a peasant society over there. The state's delegation was a remarkably diverse one, she says, boasting more than 50 government officials, business leaders, educators, and healthcare professionals, and for good reason, she says. The most lasting economic development results from a broad range of ideas and the interaction of such disparate elements as education, tax policy, a skilled workforce, cultural opportunities, and the like, she says. A parochial viewpoint is not likely to stimulate genuine business success any more than a kazoo is likely to comprise a symphony orchestra. What an insane thing to say. Led by Governor Brad Henry, the delegation journeyed throughout China, meeting with many high-ranking Chinese government officials and leaders of business and industry. Well, keep in mind, most of those business and industry is owned by the Chinese government people. Are they going to outright tell our delegation that? Hell no. We held investment seminars about Oklahoma in the capital city of Beijing and in Shanghai, an amazing metropolis burgeoning with 19 million people, roughly five times the population of our entire state, she says. Delegation members effectively conveyed the story of Oklahoma and its pro-business climate. Everywhere we traveled, we were met with enthusiasm and hospitality. In Oklahoma's sister province, in Guangzhou, that's Oklahoma's sister province. There you have it. I watched with pride as Henry watered the tree of friendship that former Governor George Nye had helped plant nearly 20 years earlier. That initial trade mission in 1985 had helped put Oklahoma ahead of many states in its relations with the People's Republic of China. Not one word of communism by Kathy Taylor, the author of this article. She's bought the line and the lie, hook, line, and sinker, and that's why her article's right here in the Oklahoman with much prominence for people to see. Goes on to state, since 1998, Oklahoma exports to China have increased 216%. Today, China is our state's seventh largest export market, accounting for nearly $65 million in export transactions. What are we exporting to them, I ask? And is this legitimate? And these figures will only grow, especially considering what industries prominent in Oklahoma, agriculture, energy, and aerospace, to name three, can offer China. Isn't that amazing? Already, we are seeing results from the most recent trade mission. Several business people in our group are practically turning cartwheels by the end of the trip. Two Oklahoma firms have indicated they will soon be expanding their presence in China, while a number of Chinese companies have expressed interest in visiting and likely investing in our state. Like all states, Oklahoma recognizes that economic development plays out on an international stage. Our competitors are no longer limited to Texas and neighboring states. Yes, we must be cognizant of our friends on the other side of the Red River, whatever she means by that. But today's market place indicates that we also keep an eye on commonplace dictates that also keep an eye on competitors overseas, such is the reality of globalization. In this brave new global economy, it only makes sense for Oklahoma to explore the incredible and largely untapped purchasing power of China. Can we afford to forego such opportunities? Not for all the tea and, well, you get the picture, she says. Well, I thought you ought to hear that, because that is a fulfillment of number four of the current communist goals of 1963. Permit free trade between all nations regardless of communist affiliation and regardless of whether or not items could be used for war. Absolutely amazing. In the meantime, this happened in California 20-some years ago. We see Viva Oklahoma, Hispanic Chamber of Commerce Expo. Yes, Hispanic business booms in city of Oklahoma. This is all part of the globalization process of the UN system, listeners. Nothing more, nothing less. A whole two pages, a whole section devoted to this. Minorities in Oklahoma, how they're growing. Hispanics choosing education. It's all a big picture coming in together. Kids Project blossoms as a folkloric dance troupe. It's the UN system in America. And until people get that through their heads, they don't have a whole lot of hope. I'm going to deal with Saturday's front page, as it needs to be covered tonight. Very relevant things in this, in the papers. And then I have more to cover in the emails. And then I have more to cover of documentation as well. Long night tonight. Lots of ground to cover. We see Admiral Robert Malone on the front page, with former First Lady Nancy Reagan, and she arrives at the flight deck of the USS Ronald Reagan off the coast of San Diego. They say the aircraft carrier steamed into its home port, greeted by a ceremony celebrating the life of the 40th president, and we're talking about Ronald Reagan. Well, Ronald Reagan was a great actor, and he took orders well, and he's no hero if you do the research into Ronald Reagan. He's no hero. He's a great actor. And so you have the USS Ronald Reagan, the Navy's newest aircraft carrier, and its top speed exceeds 30 knots. Its two nuclear reactors can operate for more than 20 years without refueling. And see, they want to shut down nuclear power plants to make us more dependent on less and less. They want to shut down our nuclear power plants, and who are they? Those in charge, the environmentalists, government bureaucrats that are taking orders from the Rockefeller Foundations, the Rothschilds, the Federal Reserve System. Who knows who's putting the kibosh on the nuclear power plants in America? But the two nuclear reactors operating this aircraft carrier can run for 20 years without refueling. So think of the submarines that can stay submerged for months and months and months. This aircraft carrier is expected to operate in the fleet for about 50 years, they say. It has more than 80 combat aircraft. It towers 20 stories above the waterline. It's 1,092 feet long, nearly as long as the Empire State Building is tall. Its flight deck covers 4.5 acres. It carries enough food and supplies for 90 days. 18,150 meals are served there daily. It has nearly 30,000 light fixtures and 1,325 miles of wiring. It carries 1,400 telephones, 14,000 pillowcases, and 28,000 sheets, it says. Absolutely amazing. I'm just amazed at what all this is when you think about it. We've become the global cop for the UN system. Now, you may disagree with me, and that's fine. Disagreement's fine, but research and prove me wrong. Wherever we go, the UN follows. We have the U.S. mission of the United Nations, the State Department. We have the Secretary of the Treasury as the governor of the IMF. We've covered that before. Governor of the World Bank. Governor of the Inter-American Bank. There's no point in getting into that right now. However, there's more to cover here. This is very, very important. Three issues require bulk of funds for jails and police, coming from the fourth page of the front page Saturday. This is very important, people. It says two-thirds of the state's criminal justice dollars, about $1 billion, are related to problems with mental illness, substance abuse, and domestic violence, according to a report released Friday. Okay, $1 billion are related to problems with mental illness. Well, let's screen the entire population to see how mentally ill they are and what is their problem, and how we can deal with it and how they can deal with it. Substance abuse. Well, the drugging down process started in the 1960s, listeners. The drugging down process of our entire population started in the 1960s, and the entire world for that matter. It started a lot sooner. Think of the drugging down in the 30s of China. Think of the Rockefeller financing behind that of the 1930s. So the domestic violence, they say, is another big major problem. Well, you have the loss of jobs. You have the drugging down, which messes up family units. Cocaine used to be the drug of the 80s and the real popular drug of the 80s and 90s. And now you have crank. And these methamphetamine labs, evidently this drug can be made by buying products off the shelves of stores. If you know how to do it, you can do it. Anybody that has the ambition to do such a thing is lost. He was lost by being dumbed down at a young age. He was given no ambition to have a future. We have less and less directions for vocation in this country and in other countries. So you have this problem with the families breaking up, and if you're still together with your family, try and make it work, because it won't be any better with anyone else. Even if you think it will, it won't. Make it work. The family unit has been under attack for decades, and the 1950s were very pivotal. I'm very pivotal in the destruction of our society, and that's why I covered Silent Weapons for Quiet Wars last week. Very important. But they say that this is it. The problems in costing, well, they say two-thirds of the state's criminal justice dollars, about $1 billion, are related to problems with mental illness, substance abuse, and domestic violence. The Hegelian dialectic in place. It goes on to say two University of Oklahoma researchers looked at the cost of three problems to law enforcement, prisons and courts at the local, state, and federal levels. About $1.6 billion spent annually, two-thirds, quote, is tied up in our intolerance for inappropriate behavior, end quote, researcher Michael LaPola has said. So they say early intervention is necessary. The results underline the need for early intervention in treating mental illness, substance abuse, and domestic violence. Members of a governor's task force on issues said, quote, this is the amount of money to pick up the pieces, end quote, said State Secretary of Health Terry Klein, who is also the state's mental health commissioner. Chickasaw Nation Governor Bill Anatubby agreed, saying, quote, there may be other ways other than incarceration that those dollars could be spent and be more effective, end quote. It goes on to say down here, the largest costs of criminal justice are related to substance abuse. The researcher said about half of the people in the criminal justice system are substance abusers or are serving time for drug-related crimes, costing the state $701 million. About 16.5% suffer from mental illness, costing the state about $210 million a year, and 9.4% have a history of domestic violence, costing the state $123 million. So you see the Hegelian dialectic to create the problems that have been going on for decades, to build it up to the point where it is now, and then they're going to deal with it. And we've just barely begun, people. I mean, it's just incredible in your face. I was talking about in the Tour de France, and the fact that they kept showing the elevated shots of the bicyclists coming around a turn, and elevated above is a camera, and it shows you this Egyptian obelisk with Egyptian symbols on it in France, with a capstone in the shape of a pyramid, and it appeared to be gold. Here we see on the front section, page 6, Conscientious Objector, which is a movie telling of his service. Medal won without a shot. Desmond Doss, a conscientious objector who served as a medic in World War II, shows the Medal of Honor given him by President Truman for his valor in the island of Okinawa. And here is his Medal of Honor, people. Right here, on page 6 of the front page, it's a ribbon that goes around your neck, and hanging on that ribbon is, once again, Lucifer's satanic symbol, the upside-down five-pointed star. And he's proud of it, and I don't blame him for being proud of it, but he's just as duped as the rest of us are duped. We have really been set into a quagmire of misinformation and disinformation to the point where most people don't even care anymore. But those that think they did their best for our country fighting these wars and being rewarded the Congressional Medal of Honor for valor, that's a really in-your-face scenario. Okay, so this is very, very, very interesting. This Desmond Doss won the Medal of Honor without firing a shot, but he never considered himself a hero for what he did on the island of Okinawa during World War II. Certainly, my friend, my departed friend, Robert Flame, World War I Korea War veteran, used to say to me, Okinawa was the bloodiest of all battles that he was in. And he started on Guadalcanal. And he went to, many, many recruiting booths or posts to become a soldier because they kept rejecting him. and the Marines finally took him. It was just amazing. He could have worked in the shipyard all those times during the Second World War, but no, he had to go off to war because we were brainwashed into doing that because of the quote-unquote sneak attack on Pearl Harbor, which the Japanese did try to alert our country that they were going to be attacked. According to many sources, Admiral Kimmel and Short, Admiral Kimmel and General Short were blamed for Pearl Harbor. They were exonerated by Congress back in the late 90s. They were given their ranks back. Of course, they've been dead for years. They went to their grave thinking that they were blamed for something that wasn't their fault. There was a submarine, a Japanese submarine, sunk long before the attack, and that's been proven. They should have been on high alert anyway because they were warned it was going to happen. But the American people had to be pissed off to the point where they're going to go to war and fight to bring about the UN system. And that's what the Second World War did, was bring about the UN system. As a matter of fact, the Second World War was a UN system. They were called the Allies. Today they're called the Coalition Forces. What will they call them next? And we've got much to cover, but this needs to be heard about this Desmond Doss. Quote, he figured the Lord put him in that spot at the time to save some lives, in quotes, said Jack Francisco, who met Doss several times through relatives while attending college in Chattanooga, Tennessee, near Doss's home in northwest Georgia. Today, Doss will visit Winoka Woods Camp, a summer camp operated by the Seventh-day Adventist Church, for a screening of The Conscientious Objector, a documentary film about Doss. And this is according to that Francisco, the camp director. For many years, Doss, now 85, had declined offers from Hollywood producers to buy his story, Francisco said. He did not want to be glamorized, and that's the same thing that Bob Flame said about himself. He did not want to be glamorized. I can understand that. We'll deal with this on the other side and get on to more and get into Mr. C's stuff that needs to be heard again. Too much to document about that. We'll be back.
Just trying to stay even with the Smith and Jones. Lately I've been thinking, what do you? I'm hanging by the thread, but it feels like a noose. This is what I say.
Suffer from gingivitis, sore and sensitive gums, bad breath, canker sores? Use Vitamir toothpaste and mouthwash for healthy mouth and gums. Order now. Call toll-free 1-888-558-8482. That's 1-888-558-8482. Vitamir uses no fluoride, no saccharin, and no aspartame. Vitamir mouthwash and toothpaste are 100% natural products that fight gums and periodontal disease with zinc and folic acid, to assist your body's immune system, and uses the ancient powers of clove and myrrh to purify and soothe, aids in healing mouth sores from braces, heals bleeding gums, a natural teeth whitening that works, and eliminates bad breath with regular use. Order online at www.vitamir.com. That's www.vitamir.com, or call toll-free 1-888-